It's the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info, good morning, happy new week, beautiful Monday. Yes, the, let's see, 16th, somebody told me, after all these days, we're still 16th day of January, what is happening? Brother, who would I ask if you ask me? My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. We're onto some very serious business this morning, and our conversation, as many would expect, is targeted at the forthcoming election. Campaign's still ongoing, but interesting thing that happened was INEC releasing that voter register. I know a lot of people might not have paid attention to it or looked at what it entails or what it contains. On the show this morning, we're going to review the voter register of INEC. We're also going to look at the role of ethnicity and the voting patterns and the chances of the presidential candidates. When you look at that voter register that's been released by INEC and you put your analysis together, what are the chances of the presidential candidates? Well, all of these will form our conversation for this morning. You can get on Facebook at Nigeria Info PH to be a part of the conversation. You can also get on Twitter at Nigeria Info PH to be a part of the conversation. Remember, we have a post up there for you at the very top, pinned at the very top of our page. We're asking you, which five out of the seven governorship candidates of Rivers State would you like to see in a debate? Which five of the seven governorship candidates would you like to see in a debate? Vote and let us know the five you vote. We'll get them together for a debate. It started with 15, the 15 candidates, and you brought it down to seven, and now we're asking you to make it five. So get on Nigeria Info PH on Facebook and on Twitter and commence voting. This morning, my guest is a fantastic young man. I don't know if he's really young, or maybe he'll tell us. Danderson, Harry Danderson, Director, Center for Human Rights. Hello, Mr. Danderson. You're welcome. Good morning to you.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you once again.
Happy New Year to you as well. So let's see, are you a young man?
Well,
are you a young man? I say young man.
If some of the presidential candidates can call themselves young, I am a young man in that context.
Happy New Year to you and welcome to your studios.
Thank you very much.
A lot happening already. Let's just refresh our memories. The youth population, according to INEC, tops distribution chart. And as the commission presented the over 93 million registered voters.
Yes, yes.
And then if you go further to look at that, you would find the various regions and the numbers of voters that registered. You would also have details of the various states. Lagos has over 7 million, Kano has over 5 million, and Kaduna has over 4 million registered voters. Well, whether all of these people would collect their PVC, that would be a conversation for another time. But if we're going to also look at the region, it's something interesting that you are going to find. So, by region, as at the 2019 election, the Northwest had 20.15 million.
Yeah.
The Southwest had about 16 million, over 16 million registered voters, but now it has over 17 million, an additional 1.6 thereabout million registered voters. In the Northwest now, it's around 22 million We're trying to do this comparison before we get into the conversation proper, so people understand where we're really going to. The North Central had over 13 million, but now it has around 15 million. Now, this is the interesting part. The South South had over 14 million. Now, okay, has 14 million now, I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
Whereas in 2019, it could boast about 12 million. Looking at this stats, it appears as though the South South has the least. If we're going by region, even if there's a certain bit of over 2 million increase, it's still just 14 million. The North Central now 15. Okay, the North Central had 13, now 15. The South South had 12, now 14, putting the South South at the least amongst all the regions. We'll come to it. We still have the northeast. Yeah. So far, the south is the least. We have the northeast. The northeast has 12 million as well, a little over 12 million. So it had 11 million last year, last election, 2019. But the least of all is the southeast with 10 million. 10 million. 907,606 to be precise. In 2019, it had 10,057,130 registered voters. Looking, you find not much of an increase, just a few hundreds of thousands added to that number. And this particular stat is bringing us to this question on Facebook. How would you rate the chances of the Southeast producing the next president? That's a question we have for you on social media, Facebook and Twitter. I would like you to tell us at Nigeria Info PH on Facebook, at Nigeria Info PH on Twitter. On WhatsApp, 0809-030-6416. I'll go over to my guest now, Mr. Danderson. Well, you see the stats. The South South, many would thought would have been the least, but eventually we're up about a few millions. We're about 14 million now.
Yeah.
The Southeast, just 10 million, a little over 10 million. Many looking at the results are thinking that some people are questioning facts, especially with, let's start with the insecurity we've had. Many would say that influenced what we got in the Southeast, the sit-at-homes and the other issues that we had in parts of the Southeast. But that's not different from what we had in the Northeast. Yes. And the Northwest, even where we had banditry, seriously issues of banditry. But if you do comparison and look at what we have, you would find that in the Northeast, 12 million currently.
Yes.
Up from over 11 million. In the Northwest or North Central, where we all had issues of banditry, Northwest specifically, you still have about 22 million. As from last year, it doesn't seem like much changed because last year was about 20 million, but then it went up this time despite the insecurities. So if you're putting this comparison, would you say that the insecurity is something that should be a question for why the Southeast had a low turnout?
Not really. A lot of people in the Southeast actually registered in other places. The Southeast are people that, I call them, they are nomadic in nature when it comes to trade. Mm. They travel a lot. Mm. They stay in regions that are not in their region.
Okay.
So when you're seeing, when you're taking a look at these statistics, mostly, you get to find out that a lot of the Easterners, Southeasterners, are in all of these regions. Majority of the traders in all of these regions are Southeasterners.
In other words, the votes we're having in the northeastern parts of Kano, Kaduna,
Sokoto, are influenced by these persons.
Because
yes.
The Southeasterners will live there.
A lot of them, yes. You can't take that away. There's a percentage of them that stay there, live their life there. Southeasterners that live their life there, registered there to vote, and have been there all their life.
Mm.
So when you take that percentage, you find out that it's not as if they are the least. But yes, in their region, they are the least. But they are spread all over. There's no way you go to, you will not find, there is an adage, you will not find the average Igbo man.
But some people would argue and say implications of this when you look at the forthcoming elections, and we know we have loads of candidates, but the major five, the PDP, the APC, Labour, and NPP, I think just four. Okay, some people would add Shawari as well. These five candidates. And for some people, this particular data, how it influences the chances of these candidates is a big question, which is a question I would like to ask you directly now. The chances of the Southeast, for one, let's start from there. Many people have said, well, it's the turn of the Southeast. But when you look at the numbers that are being churned out now, and people looking at, oh, if we have the G5 governors work for certain candidates, it means a lot. But when with these numbers, could that even be the reason why we're not hearing too much? Many would say from the camp of the PDP presidential candidate, not much has been said with regards to whatever these other people are doing. Could this data be responsible for that?
Yeah, not really in the actual sense of it. The chances of this is Southeasterner, let's say among the top four, which is Peter Obi, of course, becoming the president, it's for now among the top four. We don't know who will become the president this data. Why am I saying this? We find out that leading southwestern groups, they are Fanny Ferre.
Yes,
I've actually adopted this young man from the Southeast as their candidate. So whatever you are going to say here, you will find out that this man is going to pull a percentage of votes from the Southwest. And naturally, we assume in the Southeast, out of this, if 10.9 million people vote, he's going to get about 8 million
votes. But there's a Tinubu who is the APC presidential candidate that many believe holds the Southwest in his pockets with regards to votes.
He does. But even of recent, people that we thought were backing him, I've come out to say, no, somebody like Pastor Tunde Bakare is a Southwesterner. There are notable people who have a lot of followers,
so you're saying with a reasonable amount of the governors from the Southwest who are directly, in one way or the other, have a solid relationship with the APC presidential candidate, that would not influence the votes he would get in the Southwest.
It will, but what I am trying to say is the Southeasterner will get a major percent. The 25% he's looking for in the Southwest to cut across, he's going to get it.
How so? Why do you think he would get
it? Because of these endorsements and because of his popularity among the youths. Who are geared to vote.
And the data said the youths form the major part of...
Exactly. You can see that the youths have about 37.6 million...
registered voters.
That are youths. And you can see the frenzy about this obedient movement or what. So for me, it's a dicey game, but I think in the Southwest, there are regions it will not make 25%. But the Southwest is not such one of those regions. If you talk about Lagos, in the Southwest that has the highest number of voters.
Yes.
Let's say there are a lot of Southeasterners and a lot of youths over there in Lagos that call themselves obedient. We saw the rallies pre-campaign. We saw the rallies and all the rest.
Those numbers, the crowd that bought, because even when the APC presidential candidate had his rallies, we even saw similar numbers.
Exactly.
So it brings the question of, is that what we should go by, the numbers?
For me, based on what I am seeing and based on statistics available, I think the 25%, he might not win major states in the Southwest, but for the 25% in the Southwest, he's going to get it. And let's just say for any reason, the G5 governors turn towards him.
Which would be a question I'll be asking next. How instrumental the South-South is in this election. For some people, they feel win or lose will be determined by the South-South. Even though we're just about 12 million registered voters. And amongst these 12 million, whether or not everybody will come out to vote is another question. Whether or not everybody will collect their PVC is also another question.
Yes.
Which would mean that we might at the end not eventually get all of these numbers out. And that would play a role significantly significantly in how the election turns. Do you believe that the South-South would be the decider of these elections? Because some people think the North is rightly divided by the NNPP candidate and Atiku Abubakar of the PDP, who is also from the North. And because of that, the South, Southwest, as Tinubu was dividing that area as well. And the influence of the PDP has a role to play. The Labour Party also has some stake in that. And it would then come to the South. And in the South, like we've said, the numbers of the votes, to be more specific,
it's 14.4.
If we can go by states, Lagos has the highest, over 7 million. Kano is over 5 million and Kaduna over 4 million. So that if you now come to, say, Abia State is like a little over 2 million. Bayelsa is just about a million, a little over a million. I'm trying to put out the states in the South. Cross River is about a million. Delta, I think, is the highest with a bit of a little over 3 million. Enugu is a bit over 2 million. All of this would not come out to vote, definitely.
Yeah.
But do you think that the South is really instrumental and would decide? Is that why you think perhaps the G5 are having the position that they have?
Okay, generally in this election, a lot of people are not putting something into context, which is that there's going to be a lot of shocker. Because for me, this might be the first free and fair election Nigeria will be having since 1999. Mm. Because of the new
electoral
act, which will to an extent allow the votes count if politicians don't bring in something we are not expecting, and if the votes will really count. You see those 2 million block votes we normally get from Rivers, Kaduna and all
the KKK states,
you will not see them. If the votes do count, you won't see those votes, because we know how they do all these things prior to this time. We saw how the INEC security agencies were able to apprehend people that had over 3,000, 6,000 voter cards in their possession. So what I'm trying to say here is that the Southwest are more interested in this electoral process, in the presidency this time around. There is a lot of talks around it. Unlike before, even if you go, even the northern leaders, a lot of them are saying, no, it's the turn of the South. So the electorates in the South are more enlightened, are more ready to come out and cast their votes.
If that's the case, then you put us in a position where you would technically be looking largely at the APC presidential candidate, Bola Tinubu, Sowore, and the Labour Party presidential candidate.
Peter. Exactly. Exactly. These three. For me, it doesn't even... Sowore, I've not really seen his campaigns. I've been seeing that of the Labour Party. I've been seeing that of the APC presidential candidate. But he has not been going around canvassing for votes. So for me, it's between, if it boils down to the South, it's going to be between the APC presidential candidate and that of the Labour Party presidential candidate. I bet you, if it's going to boil down to youths deciding these votes, it's going to be for the Labour Party presidential candidate.
All right, I'll hold that thought. Let's go on a short commercial. When we return, we continue with the conversation. Perhaps how ethnicity would influence the election is something we'll talk about.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
We're back and we're live on Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. You can be a part of the conversation and drop your comments as well. How would you rate the chances of the Southeast producing the next president? We are reviewing the INEC voter register. And, well, the voting power of the various regions and states and how perhaps it could influence chances of some of the presidential candidates emerging victorious in 2023. My guest this morning, Dandison, Harry Dandison, is Executive Director, Center for Human Rights, Health, Ethnic Harmony, and Livelihood Development. Before the break, maybe I'll let you continue with your train of thoughts, how this will play out. You were already telling me that we might see certain overvoting and the rest of those. How do you mean?
Yes, we will definitely see overvoting, and a lot of that will be a rerun, because a lot of these foot soldiers who are going to carry out work as agents, work as collection officers, and what's more, in these various parties, are still not sensitized. They're not being sensitized enough about the Electoral Act. We are on the ground, and when we discuss with them, you still find out that they are still telling you about the old order of stuffing of ballot box.
Is it possible that maybe even majority of Nigerians are still thinking about the elections from the old order? Because we would look at states like Kano, Kaduna, Sokoto, and these are the people who churn out the major votes if you want to win elections in the country. And the votes from one of those states could cover everything you might generate from 2-3 states in the south. So are you implying that would not be the order this election?
It will not be, because if it goes by what they do before, there is going to be a lot of cancellation based on what the Electoral Act says. If the number of accredited voters are not in consonant with the number of ballots
cast,
though that unit, the Electoral Act says that unit remains cancelled. So there is going to be a rerun. And there's going to be a rerun in a lot of places, mostly in the north. And mostly in the northeast and the northwest, even some places in the north central.
Why the northeast and northwest?
That's where the sensitization needs to be done a lot. Because these persons are not being sensitized. You know, for you to know what to do when it comes to elections, one of the things is you need to know what the Electoral Act says. How many of these youth over there, we know what the demographic says concerning education over there. How many of these youths they are going to use still know that, look, it's not business as usual. This time around, it's one man, one vote. There is no stuffing of ballot box. There is no division of ballot box. Yesterday evening, I was with some youths in River State discussing elections. And what I hear from them, I'm telling you, it's still going to happen in River State. Some units in River State will be cancelled. Some wards will be cancelled. Because of overvoting. Because they still believe in the old order. They are still looking at, when you tell them, okay, we are going to be agents, they are looking at people that are, in quotes, what we call touts, who do not know what election is about. What they know is, give me the ballot box, ballot papers, let me stuff into the ballot box. So for me, I think the politicians should do a lot of sensitization on their followers. They are foot soldiers, mostly at the grassroots level, in the communities, at the local government levels. They should do a lot of sensitization. Teach them what the Electoral Act is. In short, practice it. Do a practical, a mock election for them to know how the beavers are working, what the electoral say, what entails that if you do this, even if we are winning in this unit, that place might be cancelled. And a real one might not favor us. So this kind of sensitization must go on. And these are the things that are going to change this 2023 election, mostly the presidency that is coming. It's going to be better for the governorship and House of Assembly, because a lot of persons would have learned their lesson during the presidential elections, and corrections will be made during the governorship and House of Assembly elections. But there will be a lot of rerun. There will be a rerun for the presidential election.
All right, let's open the phone lines first and hear from you. Remember, we still have that question up there on Facebook. How would you rate the chances of the Southeast producing the next president? You just listened to my guest analyzing the voter register and the various regions and states and the number of registered voters and how it could play out. We would come to ethnicity, which is another important tool that plays a role in how people vote. And if we're looking at the number of voters registered and then put ethnicity into the mix, what would that mean for the presidential candidates? Well, tell us what you think. The chances of a Southeast producing the next president. 0700 923 0923 0700 923 0923, on Facebook at Nigeria Info PH, on Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. Don't forget to also vote. Which of the five governorship candidates would you want to see in a debate? We have the post pinned at the very top of our page. Go there and vote. Letambari is in Bori this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Ifeyemi Andrew.
Good morning.
Yeah. Nice for having me. I greet your guests in the studio.
All right, go on. You have to speak speak up a little bit. We can barely hear what you're saying.
Okay. What my reaction goes on the statement credited to the guest that says the youth or the Southeast is eager in this election. I want to say that statement, I underline that statement. I didn't see any sign of the Southeast in a mood and very eager that they need to vote in this coming election. Because what? If you see the way violence and banditry is taking over the Southeast, mostly the Imo River, the Imo side of the south east, is more taking over every day as than we expect. And the people are they are yearning to have a president, and there are people frustrating the system because you're going to vandalize the INEC office and all that. Prove to me that you are not ready, that you want to have a president. If you really mean and you believe that Peter Obi should have votes from the Southeast, why not bring down this level of vandalism by vandalizing INEC offices and creating more chaos and political pandemonium in the area, so that the people can find a way and see that, yes, if this election comes, they will have peace to vote for the candidate of their choice. But in this case, I didn't see anything of that nature. There are the people yearning that they want to have a president. Fine, there is nothing bad about it. But what are you doing? What legacy, what standard are you keeping so that when the time comes, you are able to mobilize your people and vote? And looking at the five contestants, the presidential contestants, I see that Bola Tinubu have an edge over all of them because he has a legacy. He has a standard. Tinubu was the only man in the history of governance who has created the local government. What has others done in their service to humanity? Let us look at Peter Obi. Peter Obi was the governor of Anambra State. What did he do? He withhold the salary belonging to the local government workers. He did not pay them. And you expect that the people will come out to vote you at this time when you did never kept any legacy? The employment statute in the state, he never did anything about it. And at the end of the day, look at what their people are doing against him. Where will he have vote from? The Tinubu itself has 21 governors backing him. The Labour leader, how many governors are for him? Atiko is having 11. Left over with five who are against him. So where did they have the stand? This is where my problem comes
all
from.
All right, Leighton Barry, so thank you very much.
It's really cause for concern. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Emmanuel in Rumolumeni, good morning.
Good morning. Happy New Week, my
friend. All right, wish you the same.
Well done. My take on this is for Southeast, their chances of winning the 2023 election, I think for me, is very high. Not just being very high, considering the major political parties as of today and their candidates in the person of P2P, I think going back to his track record as the former governor of Anambra and the many endorsements from ex-generals, I think, I believe, and with the whole South, South and Southeast, a lot of people are keen towards the Southeast producing. And considering, in fairness and equity and justice, the Igbo man has not ruled this nation. I think the wise thing to do for the country this time around, considering the North and the Northeast and all the rest, even this Northwest and the West, that is the Yorubas, have had their share in taking care of this country as president. So it's only the Southeast. I think it will be a balance issue if P2B becomes the next president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria at this time. So their chance of winning or chance of Southeast being the next president of the country is very, very high. That is my own understanding. Thank you and good morning.
All right, Emmanuel, thank you very much. So one of the callers mentioned the APC presidential candidate, Tinubu, and saying, well, in Lagos, I mean, he stands a chance with the votes and the governors were supporting him from the Southwest and then other states of the country where they have APC governors. If we cast our mind back to 2015 and in 2019, many feel like the elections were won because of the alliance allegedly between the Southwest and the North. Because President Muhammadu Buhari over time had northern votes. I mean, the bloc he has is really solid, good followership, and the West joining that was what ensured him victory at that 2015 election. But this time, is it something that would play out the same way, especially now if you put ethnicity into the mix? Because many people would have voted at that time because the president was from the North, and other people that would have voted now may want to vote because we have somebody who's from the Southwest. How instrumental is ethnicity in all of this?
Well, just like the caller said, yes, the conflict in the Southeast is going to be a major issue when it comes to elections and might actually bring down the votes of the Labour Party candidate. But when you take a general overview, this election is not going to be more of ethnicity. Like I said, if it's going to be one man, one vote, a lot of people are not going to be voting based on... The percentage that are going to vote based on ethnicity will still be high, but not as high as we used to see. And I always tell people, with the new Electoral Act, the governors do not really have the kind of power they used to wield before. That power that he used to wield before to say, okay, I'm going to deliver 20 million votes, I'm going to deliver 2 million votes, 5 million votes, they don't have that power any longer.
The Rivers State governor is one who has been very vocal about the votes that the state can deliver. So if you're saying that they don't have that power, what could be the motivation behind
that? You know, I always tell people that a lot of politicians, even the politicians themselves, most times when they talk, forget about... I don't think sometimes the policies, they actually put their pen to paper. They read it. You saw what happened in the passage of the Electoral Act. The parliament signed their own death warrant. That they could not even participate in the primaries of their own parties. It was after it was passed, they came to realize that, oh, there's a clause that says this, 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 and this. It's only elected... these things that can come,
Come out.
Exactly. So for me, I think a lot of politicians do not really sit back, get advice from lawyers to say, look, take a look at this Electoral Act and tell me what it entails for me as in my position as a governor. What can I do to win electorates? And that's where Yusuf Wike is smart. He has read it. He's a lawyer. I believe he must have read it. And that's the issue of these over 200,000 essays. To say, okay, yes, let me have about 200,000 persons that are already in my pocket. That's 200,000 votes.
So you believe that appointment of Essence at the time was more about
exactly. Why didn't he do it since his first year in office? It's prime towards elections to say, look, you have to man. We have about 300 and something thousand units in River State. You have to man every polling unit. That's what the work these guys are going to do for him in the elections. That's my thinking. That's where I think it's Danny Sin's opinion.
Mm.
You understand? So he's wise. He knows that, look, for me to win this election, I must have statistics. These 200,000, over 200,000 essays are already mine because I'm paying them. They're feeding out of my hand. Then his commissioners, and out of these 200,000, most of them are married. They have their family members who, because of them, also support Yinso Wike's candidate or the PDP's candidate or whoever he's supporting. How many other governors are doing the same? What strategy are they employing? So for me, a lot of governors will be surprised that to know that, look, because of the new Electoral Act, they can't pull the kind of numbers they used to pull when it comes to elections. So ethnicity, yes, coming back to ethnicity, ethnicity will play a major role, but not the way it used to play before. You see that partnership between the Southwest and the North, which is also happening now. Remember, the North does not have a candidate apart from Atiku, the PDP candidate.
Mm.
And would, if it's ethnicity, who do you think they'll support?
But it also brings us to what you pointed out earlier, saying that, well, the Southeast might not have a lot of registered voters, but then the numbers that the other parts of the country in the North would have is a result of the Southeasterners who live there.
Exactly.
But we can also say similar thing for the Northerners, because we have a lot of Northerners scattered across the country who also live in these parts that will be influencing. So are you of a position that, well, people in those regions who vote for candidates based on maybe the tribe or ethnicity or where they are from, which would mean having a Southeasterner in the North vote for a Southeasterner and then a Northerner in the South vote for a Northerner, would that not then affect the output of the votes that we're still going to have? Ethnicity, the idea used to be a certain region and majority of people in that region vote for a person because that person is from where they are from. But then if we go by illustration, it means all of this would also have certain level of changes.
Definitely. That's what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say here is that for now, because of the sympathy being pulled by the Southeasterners to say, look, since the creation of this country, we've never been elected as president. A lot of Southeasterners, wherever they are, will vote based on ethnicity. I'm stating that fact. A lot of Southeasterners, majority of them, will vote based on ethnicity.
Mm.
But the Northerners will not. A lot of them will, but not as they won't get that percentage. The Southeasterners, they won't get up to that percentage.
Why would the Northerners not do that? Is it because we have some people saying it was the time of the South?
Exactly. Even their Northern elders, a lot of them are saying, look, for purpose of unity of this country, let this move to the South.
So what would that mean, given, because the APC at the moment have most of the states covered, does that technically mean, and the support of the president for the presidential candidate of the APC, many would say ordinarily means that majority of the vote from the North would go to the APC and its candidate?
No, it also depends on a lot of other things.
Like?
Like I said, when you say APC has a lot of the states covered, how?
I mean, they have their governors in those states.
And I've told you, they won't pull their weight. I am saying it with this new Electoral Act, unless things turn, there's a new way they want to go by, maybe through vote buying, through voter intimidation and all. They can't pull the weight they pulled in 2019 and 2015 or since 1999 to say, bring out those block votes. They can't. People will vote based on their conscience.
Mm. Let's get on to the phone lines again and hear from you, the listener. 0700923-0923. That is the number to call. 0700923-0923. On WhatsApp, this one says, your guest in the studio is just sentimental and out of point about the Northern Nigeria. First, how can you say there will be lots of cancellations in the North? So the North does rig the elections and the South does not. He's going on, going going nowhere because you are for Obi does not mean you should talk bad about other people. The East will have their own after 8 years. Michael sent in this message. I can't remember us saying that the elections will be cancelled in the North.
No, we never said that.
Maybe you misunderstood what you heard.
And none of us here is campaigning for any presidential candidate. Mm. We're just analyzing the situation based on ethnicity. We analyze that. We say, look, for the Southeasterners, this is how they'll vote. For the Southwesterners, this is how they are going to vote. And I'm telling you, Tinubu will carry the day.
But where does that leave the PDP presidential candidate?
He's going to... Okay, from the way a lot of APC persons are decamping to the PDP, you find out that, yes, the PDP candidate will carry the day in the North. But what is the spread? What's the margin? The margin is what comes to play.
Mm.
That's why I said nobody knows who's going to win the election from the top four contenders. For me, I have top three, which is the Atiku, Tinubu, and the Labour Party.
Because in the North, there's the NNPP, we're forgetting to mention, who definitely, Kwankwaso pulls a lot of weight in
the
North.
Exactly, but he doesn't do that over here.
But then, if he pulls a lot of weight in the North, it means it's going to affect the outcome of votes that the other candidates will get from the North.
Exactly. That is why I'm saying it's going to boil down to margin. What margin did he use to win in your state? So let's say Atiku wins with after 2 million votes being cast, Atiku wins in the entire North, 2 million votes were cast, for example, and Atiku wins with a margin of, say, 700,000. He got 700,000, and the rest were divided between Tinubu, Obi, and Kwankwaso.
Mm.
Where does that keep him in the other regions? So that's why I say a lot of people are analyzing situations to say, look, this guy is going to take a sweeping visit. It's not going to be like that.
Oh, okay, this person says it's not possible for the APC and PDP not to try to rig this election because Nigerians have woken up. Sylvester from Ajib Road. This person here says, okay, be informed that the Southeasterners are economic migrants in drones. Wherever you see the Igbos, you see them in large numbers, John. I think we highlighted that. But we also have the Northerners who migrate.
The same thing, yes, the same thing.
There's a Northerner in almost every part of this country as well.
Every community,
village, they're also everywhere. So it goes both ways. This one says, please, remember the Southeasterners are scattered all over the place. We have many in Lagos, Abuja, Port Harcourt, Kaduna, and Kano. Same thing we're saying for Northerners. Nigeria Info, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Morning to you.
Yes, Andrew, my name is Daniel.
Okay, go on, Daniel.
I think, good morning to your guests.
Good morning, Daniel.
I agree a bit when you say that the majority of the Southeasterners will vote based on ethnicity. If it was Rocha to Kurocha, who happened to be in PDP, and Osibanjo is in APC, believe me, they will go to Osibanjo and leave their own. If it was Odjus Okalo that is in APC and Osibanjo is in BDP, they will leave Odjus Okalo and vote to Osibanjo. I think that zone will be very, very good in voting competence. They are not looking at it based on tribe. The only reason why some of them is key to Obi, because the man looks like he's very competent to rule. So they are not there to look at because this one is my brother. No. So majority of them will go to Obi because Obi is competent. If he went and bring job any Southeasterner, believing because he's from Saudi, they will vote both because this is my brother. They will not do that.
Mm.
Over the years, since 1999, they have been voting based on competence, based who they think that will be better for Nigeria. Not because of this person is coming from the North or because this person is coming from the West. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. Mr. Danderson, let's get last words from you on the show before we wrap things up. I don't know if I would say it's too early to ask for your predictions, but then I'd like to get predictions from you. You've seen the voter register and the spread, and well, the youth seem to be the most registered number of voters. How do you think this election would go? A few seconds.
Okay, for me, like I said earlier, if the youths are going to be the deciding factor, this election will go to Labour Party. If the youths are going to be the deciding factor, obviously they won't. So for me, I say this election is going to go down to a rerun.
Everywhere?
won't be a clear winner on the first after the first elections. There's going to be a rerun. And if it happens like that, and for any reason, the rerun is between these three major parties, the Labour Party, the APC, and the...
Time is already up. That's the reason. A rerun, that's your final word. Thank you, Mr. Danderson. Good morning.